Okay, so this podcast is going to, well, hang with me on this one, because if I can get through this one, I think what we're going to talk about is going to be important, but getting there is going to take a little while. Everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Investigation Safety Podcast. I am your loving host, your host with the most. Well, let's not say most. Most seems really egotistical and kind of crazy. I am your host with more, which seems more generous and humble. And that's where I want to be in this scenario. I'm your host with more. So let's have a conversation today. Let's just talk. It won't be a long talk, but it's a talk that I just recorded a podcast where I was interviewing a guy, and we started talking a lot about traditional safety approaches, and there were a lot of questions about that, and big discussion around the Heinrich model and managing frequency, which eventually will manage severity. And it feels like we need to talk more. Not because I'm all knowing, because God knows, you know, that's not true, but because I think one of the battles we fight a lot is this battle around the idea that somehow, some way, if we did the same things harder, we'd have a different outcome. And that's frustrating. It's frustrating for me because, well, quite honestly, I just see lots of bad outcomes. And it's frustrating to you because you have to do this stuff every single day. And that's a huge part of where we want to be in this discussion. I don't know. I mean, that's what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit. And it's not going to be a long one, but I think it's worthwhile. There's some ideas. They're a little complicated, but we'll get to them. My life is grand. Man, I'm telling you, it's fall in New Mexico. So if you don't know New Mexico, first of all, you're all invited. The state wants me to say that to you, but I would support it. The food's amazing. You'd like that as well. But also, fall is just, it's I don't even know how to describe it. It's hard to describe smells, but New Mexico really smells good. It's a combination of the piñon pine tree and roasting green chilies that come from Hatch, and the air smells cold. Do you know what I mean when I say it? It smells cold, and the days are nice, and the evenings are brisk. That's a nice word. And you sleep good. It's a really a good time for me. It's the time to come hang out. It's probably true for all of you. Fall is a really interesting time. A little depressing, right? Because we got winter coming, and the days will get shorter, and work doesn't seem to go away. But it's a great time, and we're about to go into Balloon Fiesta. In fact, probably when this podcast is out in a couple of weeks, we'll be deep in the final week of Balloon Fiesta, which is kind of amazing. That's always worth driving down to. And other than that, I mean, gosh, things are grand. I had a marvelous time. Special thanks to the crew in Kansas for hosting me at the Bluegrass Festival. I will tell you, renting a golf cart to drive around the campgrounds to listen to picking is a game changer. I've always wanted a job with a golf cart anyway. I mean, there's something about that just makes me super excited at every level. But we just had a marvelous, it was really a good time. And so that was especially fun. And there was great music to be had by all. There's lots of young bands. There's a band called Steel Wheels I would give a relatively high mark to. If you get a chance to hear them, they're worth picking up and listening to. So a great time was had, and all sorts of fun was had. And that was good. So let's jump into this conversation, because I think you'll like it. I'm curious to see what you think, and so I welcome your feedback. I'm going to really try to rephrase the problem and see if that makes a difference. So without much more time spent talking about golf carts and bluegrass festivals, let's jump into a little conversation I want to have with you guys about the idea of frequency and severity. Today I want to talk to you about, well, I kind of want to have a conversation around the Heinrich Pyramid. because we talk about this pyramid all the time, and there's tons, I mean literally 2,000 pounds of material written on why the Heinrich Pyramid is wrong. And yet everywhere you go and every place I stop, it's a pretty good bet that I'm going to see a poster someplace or a publication somewhere that's got the notion of the Heinrich Pyramid in it. And they're going to talk about the fact that it really, there is a direct correlation between frequency and severity. And that if we manage frequency, severity will take care of itself. And we know that's wrong. And we know, and man, again, there's a lot of places to go to look at this. We know that's not based upon anything other than kind of magical thinking. And that it's really had a lot of impact. And we've sold it pretty hard because it makes the uncertain certain. Right? I can manage significant outcomes by managing the frequency of small events. And that's just wrong. I mean, we know it's wrong, but let's talk about why it's wrong in a way that may help us when we have to have these conversations with people who really want to fight pretty hard that that's the way we do things. And I think to do that, this is the part that gets a little confusing. We have to make a couple statements. If the things that hurt people in your organization are the same things that kill people in your organization, then I actually think you can use a correlation between frequency and severity. And if you manage frequency, you wouldn't have to worry about severity. But that means the stuff that's happening to you is instantly killing people. And if you work in that organization, like let's say a snake, poisonous snake packing company. I'm making this up, but that strikes me as a place where a small event is the same as a large event. And in fact, that could have relatively meaningful impact. So I'd really manage the small events. But I think the case I want to make is that ankle sprains aren't fatalities. And that hand cuts, although these aren't good, aren't explosions. And that really what we're looking at is a much different equation. In fact, really what we're looking at is this. If you work in a place where the things that hurt people are not the same things that kill people, then the Heinrich Pyramid, although seductive and incredibly attractive, is wrong and probably close to malpractice. Malpractice in that it causes you to really think and use resources in ways that you believe are going to have a major impact, but do not have a major impact. So we got to talk about this because we have to talk about fatalities and serious events, catastrophic failure, because the topic that I'm most thinking of is that. It's how do we not kill people? Because the challenge is, and it's really a challenge, is that really, really safe organizations, really good organizations at the bottom of the Heinrich Pyramid, not very many injuries, really low OSHA reportable numbers, really low ankle sprains and hand cuts, those organizations still kill people. And you're left with a question, and the question I'm always left with is, well, how does a really good organization, an organization that's super, super good at safety, how does it kill people? And that's when you have to start asking that question. Are the things that are hurting your workers the same things that are killing your workers? Or you could ask the reverse of it. Are the things that kill your workers the things that actually hurt your workers? And when you ask that question, well, the answer just gets different. I mean, they're not the same. And because they're not the same, we've got to look at and really change the way we manage this idea of event prediction, which then allows us to manage event prevention much differently. What do you think? I mean, that's a pretty important statement, at least in my mind and what I'm thinking about. And I'm not finding it in writing or in research very much. I don't see other people talking about this. I don't hear other people talking about this. And it concerns me. And part of my story, I was teaching a class in Iceland which sounds like I'm dropping names, but that's where I was. And I had a senior leader who really took me down. In fact, he was pretty angry at me. And he said, I don't care if Heinrich's pyramid is true or not. I don't care if there's an empirical backbone, if there's science behind Heinrich's pyramid. Heinrich's pyramid is what I believe. And believing in something does not make it true, even though that's really tough, because if you believe in it, you kind of inherently want or think that it's a true thing, but it's not. And it's important to understand that opinion does not equal science. We can fight that battle, and it's a good battle to fight on every level. I'm sure of that. The problem is that what we're coming up against is belief. And the way we change belief is really at a fundamental level, one conversation at a time. And you know, I'm a big believer in Betty Sue Flowers from Texas A&M. And she says, if the group's not answering your question, it's not the group, it's your question. And so if I translate that, if that leader in Iceland is not answering my question, it's not the leader in Iceland that's a problem, it's my question. And so I started thinking, is there another way to talk about this? Is there another way to talk about the fact that the belief that if you take care of the small things, you won't have fatalities, which is so wrong. Is there another way to communicate that to managers and leaders who run resources and programs and processes and plants and factories so that they can actually hear something different and something that would somehow shift their opinion? And there you start to introduce the idea that the things that hurt people are not the same things that kill people. It worries me, and it worries me a lot that we're concerned greatly about ankle sprains as if they're the same thing as electrocutions. When in reality, what we know is that an ankle sprain is not the same as an electrocution, and that people who unfortunately get electrocuted oftentimes haven't had 30 ankle sprains that would have indicated they were drifting towards a fatal accident. In fact, for the most part, the people who die at work usually have no small events. They move directly up the pyramid to the very top with no benefit of that prepotent stacking of events that would have given us an indicator that this failure was about to happen. This concept, although not terribly fun to talk about, is vital to how we do work. And assuming that somehow if the worker would have made better decisions based upon low-level events, near misses, close calls, similar misses, the worker would not have gotten into a position where the conditions exist for that worker to be killed, I just have a really hard time supporting that. And so then the challenge becomes our challenge. And now we have to start asking questions, really good questions, about what is the difference between the things that actually hurt our workers and the things that actually kill our workers. That moment in time, if you can squeeze it in, is really a valuable, valuable way to think differently about the work we do. And when you think about catastrophic failure, I don't just think about fatalities or serious injuries. I think about catastrophic production failure, catastrophic environmental failure. Really, I think about things that fail in such a way that they meet two tests. They're immediate and non-recoverable, and they cost a lot in people or resource. And to do that, to think about that way, really challenges the way we've traditionally done risk assessments, and it challenges the way we've traditionally managed safety, and it challenges the way we do safety training. But that all makes sense, because if we base our traditional risk assessments, traditional safety leadership, traditional safety training on the belief that there's some connection between frequency and severity. The things that hurt workers are the things that kill workers. Then, of course, we're going to sell the idea that you take care of the small things and the big things just follow suit. This challenge, for what it's worth, is really kind of where we are. And I want to take some time and really invite you in to this discussion. So now what we've done is really identified two forms of safety, right? I mean, we've got the classic industrial safety, safety one, Eric Hallnagel would call it. And that is the slips, trips, and falls, the hand cuts, the back strains, the sprains, repetitive motion, ergonomics. You can make a pretty good case that even those are separate. But those are the non-predictive events. Those are the things that hurt people, and they're common, and they're a problem. And they're something we deal with all the time. Many of you in this room deal with them. I mean, it's a full-time job. And then you have the second form of safety, which is not really the classic safety too, although maybe it is. I mean, maybe I should think through this. But the second form of safety is fatality prevention. And that strikes me as fundamentally different because the things that hurt people don't kill people. You following? I mean, I'm trying to make a pretty good case on this, and I'm doing it out loud with you, so hold on. That means those events, fatalities and serious injuries, catastrophic failure, whatever you want to call them, those events tend to take on a different set of characteristics and therefore really need a different set of responses. And my guess is, and this is the part that I'm sort of chewing over with you guys, is that you probably can prevent pretty effectively the bottom of the pyramid, the things that hurt people. And you're actually probably pretty good at it because you've had years and years and years of experience, and your forefathers and foremothers who've walked before you have really helped create systems where it's less likely to have a back sprain, that kind of thing. But those aren't the things that actually manage the catastrophic level failures, and those require a different approach. And that's what the book Workplace Fatalities, the book I wrote, I mean, that's the premise it took. But I'm afraid I didn't spend enough time, and I probably didn't think of it at the time, really digging into the fact that really what we're talking about here is, to a great extent, why why Heinrich's pyramid is, in fact, not empirical. It is, in fact, wishful thinking. It is, in fact, magical and not real. And that, boy, that really changes, to a great extent, how we look at, understand, and think about these problems. And our challenge really is, at that point, to make that conversation happen in such a way that we can manage both of these, maybe not in parallel, because I'm not 100% convinced that we need a parallel effort. I'm not sure the minor things need as much attention as the major things do, but I think we've sold ourselves on the idea that if we take care of the minor things, the major things will take care of themselves. I think the major things become a really interesting way to look at that. And we've just got to throw the pyramid away. I mean, as hard as that sounds, and I know it sounds hard, I know that's frightening, and I know it scares leaders. They really want the world to be predictable. I mean, they really, really, really want to say, if we've got five ankle sprains, I've got a safety culture problem. Well, what you got is probably a parking lot rock problem, but you may not have a safety culture. You may have a sidewalk uneven problem, but I'm not sure that's a safety culture problem. I think it is around the notion of prediction and prevention that we manage those small level events, the things that hurt people. But I think it's really around control and resilience that we manage the large level events, the things that kill people. I don't know. I mean, think about it, because these ideas are interesting ideas, and they really do take root from a very sacred cow that we've put a lot of faith in, that I think biases the way we think. I think we've done such a good job teaching this framework that now we use this framework when we think about problem solving. It's got to be that case, because how can smart people publish articles and do speeches and make videos where they basically say, we can help you with fatalities, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually do low-level identification aggressively. We're going to do it harder. We're going to find more problems with industrial safety issues, and we're going to solve those problems very, very early. I think this is interesting, and I think of Tony Machar. It's funny. He's come up in a couple podcasts. He must be on my mind. I must owe him a phone call. I think of Tony Machar when he talks about really the notion of critical steps, and that what you look for are the things that your people do that have immediate negative consequence with zero recoverability. So when I push that button or move my hand or stand on that thing and it breaks, my ability to recover is completely gone. So I'm going to have whatever consequence I have. And the action was immediate. You start looking at those, and then you start saying, okay, if we're not going to manage those based upon frequency, because those are severity issues, then we have to assume that there is no potential probability that that thing will happen. So instead of saying there's a 41% chance, it's a green light, or 41%, maybe it's a yellow light, so we need to increase our prevention on it. I would say you look at it opposite and you say there's a 100% chance when this happens, it'll kill somebody. And we don't actually reduce our prevention side. We actually manage our control side. So we build systems that fail, as David Woods would say, fail gracefully. Graceful extensibility. That's a resilience engineering term. But it's a good one, because it really sort of, it builds the case that what we manage really is the ability to recover and live again to fight another day. Which, if you think about it, our most resilient systems really have that built in. If you look at aviation, I was reading an article today where some system in Spain went down and it pretty much stopped all travel worldwide, because the reservation system that tracks people failed. Well, so that's a non-resilient system, and I know it's non-resilient because when it failed, it stopped travel worldwide. But I would also suggest that's not non-recoverable, that all that happened is that people did not get on planes as soon as they wanted to. And I'm all for getting on as soon as you want to. I told a drunk guy to sit down and not go to the bathroom yesterday so we could take off on time. And he didn't beat me up, and he was actually pretty pleasant. So that was a lucky one, right? But in secondary hydraulic systems on an airplane, if that fails and I'm on the plane, that's non-recoverable. And so what I need is a secondary. I think I said secondary earlier. A primary hydraulic system fails. I need a secondary hydraulic system to manage that recoverability. And it's interesting, because the things that hurt people, I'm going to miss my plane, or I'm going to be late for my plane, are not the same things that kill people. Oh, my God, the hydraulic system just blew up and we have no control. That's how we kind of want to stack the world. That's how we want to build a case. And that's a pretty interesting case to build. I don't know. Think about it. I think this is a worthwhile discussion, and it's certainly worth thinking. So there you have it. What do you think? Here's a promise I'll make for you. I've been asked a bunch of times, and I think it's probably time to do it. I'm going to put together a workshop just on workplace fatalities and serious events. You can call it a CIF workshop. You can call it an FSI workshop. I'm not in love with any of those. I don't care what you call it. But let's think about doing that. If you're interested, stay tuned. I think I'll probably do it sometime and maybe February or March is kind of what it looks like. But I'd like to put it together and just do a one day where all we talk, the entire premise is we go through these ideas on prevention that I learned with much help from, you know, organizations that really are struggling with this and thinking about it and are able to put a lot of resources and time and energy and effort into it. I think that'd be good. So why don't we do that? Let's have a workshop on fatalities. That's a promise. I'll do it. It just happened right here, but I'll do it and we'll make it happen. Until then, man, thank you for listening to the podcast. I can't even thank you enough. This podcast is so much, it's so wide reaching and it really does. You're helping a lot of people just by listening. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers, subscribe. That makes a huge difference. Write a nice review on iTunes. That'd be sweet as well. Until then, I hope you get what you need. That's really important. Have as much fun as you possibly can. Learn something new every single day. I bet you did today, actually. That whole notion of the things that hurt workers and the things that kill workers is really pretty important. And most importantly, as always, be safe.